Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, ma'am, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, July the 21st, 2026. 16 minutes past the hour, and Monday was certainly a big news day here in Marion, to be sure, on this station in the Marion Star, and even Channel 4, WCMH, NBC4, coming to last night's city council meeting, as well as to Marion, and interviewing some people, which I'm sure a lot of you have already seen on television, in regard to the big news yesterday. And we have been waiting on whatever announcement this would be in regard to Marion City's finances. And on Monday, we got the announcement that the city of Marion has been placed into fiscal emergency by the Ohio Auditor of State's office. Now, a fiscal emergency is often referred to as a state takeover of a city. Entities declared to be in fiscal emergency come under the oversight of a Financial Planning and Supervision Commission. The Auditor of State is the financial supervisor of the commission, and that's from the Auditor of State Keith Faber's website. Kicking off the program this morning, nobody better than somebody who certainly knows a lot about finances. She has dealt with those through her entire illustrious career dating back to 1969. She is the only person to serve as treasurer on the local, state, and national level. She is a Marion native, the 40th treasurer of the United States of America. Always a pleasure to kick off this program or have on this program anytime. City resident, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
Well, hi, Scott. Oh, I'm just fine.
Mary Ellen, when you heard of this yesterday, that the city had been placed in a fiscal emergency, what first went through your head?
Well, I just thought, well, they're going to have to do what the auditor tells them to do, so that's going to be interesting. I never had to deal with that because we never had any situation like that, but we'll have to watch and see what happens.
You know, Mary Ellen, I know you don't have any inside track on this, but you've been back in Marion. You're a Marion City resident. What would you chalk this up to? How did we get here in Marion City?
Landon.
Robert Landon is auditor?
Yes.
So you look at that moment as the moment when things started to go bad?
Yes, I do.
Why do you think the city chose to elect him in 2019 over Kelly Carr?
Well, that's a good question. I think it was a big mistake, but that's what happened.
You know, Mary Ellen, you were elected state treasurer three different times. You've been an office holder on the state level. When you hear the term state takeover of the city's finances, how bad of a thing is that in your mind?
Well, it's pretty bad because, you know, they're going to tell you what to do. You can't be free with doing what you normally would be doing. And it's just something that should never happen.
You know, Mary Ellen, there are some city officials at this point who are saying this is the best case scenario because it will allow the state to come down here and help us get our finances back in order over the next 2 years. Is there a world where this is a best-case scenario?
Well, I wouldn't look at it that way. I don't. Maybe they're trying to make the best out of this, but it's not a very good situation.
You know, Mary Ellen, there's a lot of talk these days about why do the people elected to certain offices not know what they're doing? They get into these offices and they seemingly don't know what's going on. How does that happen in your mind? You were elected treasurer of Marion County, didn't really have a whole lot of experience. You'd been on the Elgin School Board and had run the License Bureau. How do you get experience?
Well, and people get it in many different ways, but there's so much that you need to do. You have to pay attention to the things that you're supposed to pay, and that's what didn't happen here. They didn't pay attention to what they should be paying to the state and to the federal, and so it's turned out to be a terrible mess.
How much of this do you place on the current city administration?
Well, the current city situation has been there a short time. It all started before them. It started with Landon.
Mary Ellen, as a current resident of the city of Marion, does this give you any type of trepidation to know that the city is in fiscal emergency?
Well, yes, because I'm paying tax to the city, and I think about all of the things that are involved here, and it's a situation.
You know, in all your years in Marion, have you ever seen anything financially like this?
No, never.
Did you dream it would ever come to a point like this?
I don't ever want to see it like this. I didn't visualize it. We always tried to keep our money situation very, very correct, and that is so important, and that's what happened. They didn't keep things correct.
You know, Mary Ellen, what are the biggest differences that you see, not that you're in office anymore, but when you were in office here in Marion and with the county, what are the biggest differences you see in how people run their offices when you were in office and how people run their offices now?
Well, it's really amazing to me that they do the things, to send checks to the wrong place. I mean, my goodness. And that's what happened in one case, I know. There were so many things that happened with the payment and not paying it when it was due and being charged for things. You know, it was a really bad situation.
You know, knowing what the situation has been over the last 5 or 6 years that these things have been going on, are you relieved in any way that now the state will be overseeing the finances?
Well, I think it's good that they are, but it's going to be an interesting situation, I'll tell you.
The news coverage yesterday, Channel 4 covered this, we covered this, the newspaper covered this. What did you make of the news coverage yesterday? Is that good for Marion statewide?
Well, I would expect it to be covered, really. Yeah. And it's what's going on in the state, people like to report that, and so that's the way it is.
You know, Mary Ellen, as I said, some people here in Marion are referring to this as a best-case scenario. How would you refer to it?
Well, I don't think it's the best case, but anyway, I'm glad they feel that way. Maybe they'll do a good job now. Yeah.
Do you feel that there is any silver lining in this? Is there any good about this whole situation?
Well, I think the state auditor is going to try to do the right thing, I hope.
You know, for somebody who has dealt in money her entire life and been elected local, state, and appointed nationally to a treasurer's position, when you look at this, are you in a way just shocked that this could happen in your hometown?
Yes, I am. Absolutely. I've felt this way for several years now. I couldn't believe what was going on.
Do you think we've got a rough couple years ahead of us?
Yes, probably. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that could have been done, in your opinion, that would have stopped this from happening?
Yes, there's lots of things that could have been done, and nobody did them. Yeah.
What's your best guess as to why nobody did them?
Well, I don't know, because, you know, the opportunities were there to take people out of office and to straighten things out, and nothing was done. They just let it go. And that is what happened.
You know, Mary Ellen, in conclusion here, what would you tell the citizens of Marion who might be listening, or anybody who might be listening, about this situation? How do you feel about it?
Well, I feel that we need to do what we're supposed to do and follow the rules and take it from there.
You know, next year, a lot of city council members, I believe the mayor is up for re-election next year. Do you think people should pay attention to this at the ballot box, and do you think these people should be returned to office?
Well, I'll tell you, you should always pay attention to how people have done their job, because you shouldn't just automatically reinstate them. When there hasn't been a good job done, you need to have other people take charge and run for office and try to win. It's so necessary to have good elections, and I can't say that we've really had good elections lately.
You know, it looks as if during the next elections, because this fiscal emergency will go on for 2 years, that we will be in fiscal emergency at the time of the next election, next November, when these city seats are up for grabs again, including the mayor. What would you say to the Democratic Party in regard to that next election next year?
I tell them to get their act together, because I don't know where the heck they've been.
Well, Mary Ellen, nobody I'd want to start the morning with this morning, because I've been thinking about what your thoughts are on this, and I'm so glad you could join us for a few moments this morning.
Yes, Scott, that's okay.
Always a pleasure to be with you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mary Ellen. 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. How about that? Well, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That was the big news yesterday. Marion in fiscal emergency, and I believe we announced it during the program yesterday. And it's a story, to be sure. Not only covered by us, not only covered by the Marion Star, but WCMH NBC4 was here in Marion last night discussing this. And you've got to say, at this point, the mayor is in a tough spot, to be sure. And now, joining us for some opinions on this, following Mary Ellen, the former 3rd Ward City Councilman, former chair of the Financial Committee on City Council, Jason Schauber. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Doing well. Well, Jason, the news was big yesterday, fiscal emergency here in Marion. When you first heard that, what were your thoughts?
So it did not surprise me, as I said when we first went into fiscal caution, that we qualified for fiscal emergency at that point. And then the delay and the stories that we were told for the, well, we submitted a recovery plan, it was rejected, and then we submitted another one, and then there were some really weak, lame excuses as to why there wasn't a response, and that told me that we're in fiscal emergency, they're just waiting to drop the axe on us.
Now, yesterday we heard from Councilman and current financial chair, Aaron Rollins, Councilman at Large, on what his thoughts were, what fiscal emergency is and means. We heard Mayor Collins speak a little bit about this last night at the council meeting. What is your understanding, in layman's terms, as to what this means?
So what will happen, I don't know if that's the definition of what it means, but what will happen is there will be a 7-member commission created. 4 of the members are mandatory. 3 of the members are appointees. The County, Marion County Auditor has an appointee. The governor appoints a member, and the mayor gets to appoint a member. And the mayor's appointment has to be approved through council.
Now, I believe the Marion Star article, which is online, I don't think it will hit the newspapers until the next couple days, but I believe that the headline is State Takeover, and we have referred to the state taking over Marion for quite some time now. Is this what has happened?
That will be more or less what will happen. This commission will deal with anything financial. So this commission will be tasked with a 5-year plan and to get the city of Marion stable, and they will look at increasing revenues, reducing costs. They will look at everything. Like, it's more or less the city has a consultant come in because they're, and this consultant needs to stabilize the business so that it can move positively into the future.
Now, I believe when I asked Councilman Rollins that question yesterday, he didn't feel that was the case. I don't think I'm mistaken on that. That this wasn't a state takeover.
Right, and I'm trying to get in Rollins' head, and that's probably not a place I need to go, but maybe because they knew about this a week prior, or maybe even longer, which I believe they knew about it longer, they wanted to keep it under wraps, and then it came out, so everyone was caught off guard. Now all of a sudden, it's a news flash on your show. So they were scrambling to sugarcoat everything and maybe make it not sound as bad as it is.
Now, you were the head of the financial committee, financial chair, for some time. How did this happen? What happened?
It all comes back to reconciliation. Everything comes back to reconciliation. And when we had an auditor change, the reconciliation, as recognized by the state of Ohio, were not conducted properly. That elected auditor had his own way of reconciling. The state did not recognize it, and it just progressed or got worse from there because that individual left in 18 months. We got a new appointed auditor. She did the best she could with what skill set she had, and the people around her, I don't think, really supported her the way that she needed. The reconciliation never got done, and I would harp on that constantly. I don't know if you remember, but I remember 2.5, 3-hour meetings just begging, our reconciliation's being done. We spent almost $400,000 to a accounting firm to come in and teach us how to do reconciliations. According to the press release, the state of Ohio is coming in daily to set up policies and procedures of how to reconcile and how to run the office.
You know, Jason, I don't know if you heard Mary Ellen on before you this morning, but when I asked her why or how she thought this happened, she mentioned one name.
One name, one word.
One name, one word.
She didn't miss a beat.
Yeah, no, she didn't. Is that accurate in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, so we can nail it down to that election and the following audit. That's when we found out reconciliations were not being done.
What do you think happened there? Because obviously that auditor, Auditor Landon, he didn't want to do a bad job. What?
No, he
happened?
Didn't. He great campaigner. He rode the Republican wave. I mean, if you talk to him on your doorstep, you think, man, this guy's got it together. And Robert did. He had a really solid campaign, but once he got into office, for whatever reason, things fell apart.
And why was the city never able to rebound after that? Because he left in October of 21.
So, part of the reason is we were told that reconciliations were being done correctly, and audits were delayed. We're still, what, 4 or 5 years behind on audits. And if you don't have an audit, you don't really have a picture of what's going on. So, and when I was on council, and especially when I was finance chair, I said that we're writing checks not knowing what the balance is, and someday it's going to come to a head, and we're here in a bad way.
Some local politicians have referred to this as the best case scenario, and the state coming in for free for 2 years to help get Marion's finances back in order. Would you ever refer to this as a best case scenario?
No, but I think that's the spin they want to put on it, because it's a way to acknowledge that previous auditors and maybe even the current treasurer and auditor still don't know what they're doing. The state's going to come in with a firm grip and say, this is how you do it, this is how you're supposed to do it, and maybe that's their idea, the best thing that could happen. I think it's terrible, it's sad, it's embarrassing, but this is where we are.
You know, certainly the other members of the media I talked to yesterday did not see this as a best-case scenario. That certainly wasn't the take that I think was being taken. I don't think they would come from Columbus to Marion for a best-case scenario.
Right. And they the media understands that it's a big deal, because not very many municipalities go to fiscal emergency.
Did you ever thought or think that it would come to this when you first started on council? Did you ever think that this could happen here in Marion?
No, I did not. So, to be honest, we've always had issues in the auditor's office. Way back when I very first came on, that was the Carr administration came in with her first term, this had a lot of turmoil. She was learning how to get things going. Plus, when she came in, she decided that we need to go from a green screen computer system to something that's more modern, and that's when New World came in. So on top of learning the job, she had to, Carr and her administration had to learn and implement a new system. So she had a pretty steep task to go through her first term, but she finally figured it out.
You know, there was Go ahead. No, finish up.
And so once she figured it out, her last few audits, I mean, I believe she won awards from the state for having good and clean audits. And then as soon as she lost her election due to politics, the new person has to come in, learn the job, learn the system, and then we know how Landon fizzled out and then how we got Miranda. So we're going through a cycle of always learning on the job and never quite getting the city where it needs to be.
Now, a lot of conversation was going on basically on social media yesterday, some from council members, past and present, that this had started before the current administration, so don't blame them. And some people said blame the last administration, which I would guess they were referring to Mayor Schertzer. Do Mayor Schertzer and Mayor Collins really have a hand in this at all? And if so, what is their responsibility?
So, everyone should take blame for what we're going through. I take blame or responsibility, I should say, because maybe I didn't speak loud enough and hold 5-hour-long committee meetings until we got reconciliations done. Maybe back in 22 or 23, when I brought the state in, and they gave us help through local government services, maybe I should have insisted then that we go to fiscal caution. Because 6 months into Landon's tenure, when reconciliations weren't being completed correctly, and unbeknownst to us, we qualified for fiscal caution. So maybe it's my fault that I didn't push hard enough for that. If we would have got on top of it sooner, we could have got more help. We could have had more eyes on it. We could have got the training for whatever training the people needed in that office, and we wouldn't be in this position. So I'll take all the responsibility. But when you come in as a mayor and you have a big agenda and you're rebranding a city, spending, in my estimate, till I'm proven wrong, I'm going to say Love Your City cost the taxpayers of Marion around $250,000. And Collins knew that the city was in financial problems, but before he even became mayor, he threw an absolute fit when Schertzer vetoed his raises. So how can you throw a fit about not getting a raise before you come into office and then say, well, I inherited this mess, it's not my fault. But you created the mess, or you amplified the mess through spending and wanting a raise. So you can't play both sides.
Is there anybody more responsible? Is there any responsibility laid at the doorstep of Mayor Schertzer?
Yes, he would probably fall in the same responsibility or blame or whatever you want to call it as me. We should have probably really dug in our feet and demanded resignations sooner, demanded state help sooner, declared the fiscal caution sooner. We should have done all that.
You know, I want this morning to make sure not to... We've obviously talked about Robert Landon, but Miranda McGinnis was in there after Robert Landon. She was appointed, then she was elected. She has resigned. Now we've got Vidya in there. Oh, I think we lost Jason. Jason, if you're still out there, give us a buzz back here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If Jason's still out there, hopefully he will give us a buzz back here. Rainy morning this morning. God only knows what that's doing with the telephones and everything else. But hopefully Jason will call back in. 740-383-9944. He might have been in a dead spot. But there are some more questions here, and I think we're covering a lot of very interesting areas here this morning in how we got to where we are. Fiscal emergency as declared by the office of Keith Faber, the state auditor, which is a very serious thing, to say the least. 44 minutes past the hour on this Tuesday morning. WGH Talk Radio broadcasting live. And again, Jason was a long-term Marion City Council member, and for a portion of that term was the chair of the Finance Committee here in Marion. That position currently is held by Aaron Rollins. I think he has a little different perspective on this situation than some other people. Okay. Back with us, Jason.
Yeah, what happened? Why'd you hang up on me?
I don't think it was me. I don't think it was on my end. But the question, Jason, was Landon was elected, and he right. did resign, and obviously there has been blame placed there. But Miranda McGinnis was appointed by the Republican Party. She was elected. She was there for quite a while. We now have Vidya in that position. She was elected treasurer, then appointed auditor soon thereafter. How much of this problem is because of appointments of people? You know, the voters didn't choose that, and Miranda ran unopposed when she was elected, and this revolving door in the auditor's office.
Yeah, and the only thing I can say to that is, who in their right mind would want to go in that office with the condition it's in? So we will probably struggle for a while to get other people to run for that office. So we have to kind of rely on the appointment process.
You know,
people get elected, decide that it's not for them for whatever reason, and then we have to appoint somebody.
You know, I did hear people talking about the treasurer's office, and we've had three of those as well. Well, technically four. We've had Tom Panett, we've had Tommy Reese, we have had Vidya for a minute, and now we have Twyla Lang. Four in this last 5 to 6 year period. Do these people burden any of this responsibility? Because certainly Tommy Reese got a lot of criticism.
So the only burden they would have on them or responsibilities they would carry would be our long-term investments and how that has dwindled from when Schertzer and I left. Schertzer left office and I left as finance chair. We were sitting at $17 million, roughly. And that is now dwindled down to, and I haven't kept track of it very well here recently, but I want to say it's down to maybe $4 or $3 million.
Jason, I know this is a big question, but here was the confusion yesterday that I saw at a standing room only city council meeting. Now, a lot of that was about flock cameras, but there were finance questions as well. People I ran into who were hearing this news yesterday, media in general. Okay. There were millions of dollars, at least $8 million, I think, in the city's coffers when Mayor Collins came to office. Okay, a lot of people think money was stolen, and there are people to be held accountable for that. Where did that money go? Where did that carryover money go?
So, are we talking carryover money? Are we talking long-term investment money? Because the carryover money, that's stuff we carry over from a previous year to a new year, and we haven't had an accurate number on the carryover dollars for quite some time. We haven't. I could go back to Kelly Carr would be the last time that we had accurate figures on carryover money.
What?
Now, long-term investment funds, that's what I'm talking about, that we have a Fifth Third bank account, and that, with the Fifth Third bank account, and we have some other smaller bank accounts that we put money into, and that totaled in December 23, roughly $17
million. $17
million
when Mayor Schertzer left office.
Right.
Okay. People think
So that's dwindled. I will not say it's been stolen. No one's walking out with stacks of cash, because to even get access to that money, it takes the treasurer, law director. It's a board of people that has to okay even touching that money. But as audits come through, this will come to light. We had a budget director. Remember when the city created the budget director, and that individual came in and used some of those long-term investment funds to try to catch up some of our negative balances. Sounds like that individual did good work, something that should be done. But the problem is those dollars can only be spent on what they're supposed to be spent on. So it could be general fund, it could be enterprise dollars, and you can't commingle and use these funds inappropriately. And I want to say that when that individual was going through these line items, that there were times that, and it all came to council voted on all this, to get negative balances done. She was using long-term investment funds as cash, and there would be times we would pass appropriation ordinances, catch them up at $4 million.
So that's where that money went.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And that's why the city has to pay it back, because they illegally used those dollars. And I, for years, I've been harping that we need to identify what these dollars are, because we started back in, I think it was COVID in 21, maybe 22. That's when we first started divesting funds to cover payroll and a loan payment. That was our first red flag that we should have pounced on, and I'll take full responsibility that I didn't act big enough and stop it. But that was our first time we dipped into those long-term funds, to cover payroll and a loan payment. Then it became habit. The next year, same thing, same loan payment. Got to cover end-of-the-year payroll, health insurance. And we illegally used those funds. So, yeah, it disappeared in chunks.
So, counsel illegally used these funds?
Everyone that had a say in or the idea of using these funds to either fix negative line items or to cover payroll, to cover whatever the need was at that time when we dipped into these long-term funds, yes, we did. And that will show up in an audit if we ever get those years audited.
So at this point, everybody, now, did this happen during the, I don't think this happened during the Schertzer administration, did it?
What's the it?
Using
money illegally?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that happened there,
yes,
too.
Because, yes, Miranda McGinnis and Martin Watts were the first ones to come and say, hey, we're short on this loan payment in September, and we need, I forget, X amount. I believe the first time was $1.6, maybe close to $2 million. And that was to cover a loan payment and finish the year out payroll.
Now, I know you don't know what's going on here today, but Mayor Collins said last night at the city council meeting that he has to have a meeting today with city employees, bargaining units, so on and so forth. He did not want to say last night what that was all about because he wanted them to hear it from him first. What do you imagine, being a former city councilman and a head of a finance chair, is going on there today?
He's probably going to try to reassure employees that their jobs are safe, but I don't know how he can reassure them of that. Because when this commission comes in, they're going to be tasked with making the city lean and mean and produce a five-year plan, and I don't know how, well, honestly, I don't know what departments are left that can be cut without totally doing away with them.
So what do you
foresee? It's going to be a tough meeting for the mayor to get through.
So what do you foresee happening? We now have the announcement. So what do you think we're going to see follow news-wise here in the next couple weeks?
So news-wise, I would say commission, the appointed members, that needs to happen within 15 days of the emergency declaration. And the emergency declaration is today, so the 21st. So I would say the next council meeting, the mayor and council should decide who the appointee for the mayor is going to be. And I would say that commission will meet probably the first part of August, as soon as they get, well, within 15 days, they'll have the member the commission created. It'll move pretty fast, I would say.
Can the mayor or the administration in general or city council at this point do anything financially without the approval of this commission?
If they act Monday on something financial, they can probably do whatever. But once that commission's formed, I would say that their hands will be pretty tied. I don't think any additional appropriation or anything will probably have to go through that commission.
And this will happen for a period of 2 years. It's just going to be that way.
I would say at least 2 years, and again, the sole goal of the commission is to get a five-year plan and get the city following that plan to be financially stable so that they can remove the fiscal emergency.
I hate to become political on this, but it is kind of interesting that the mayor will be up for re-election next year. The entire city council will still be up for election next year. We'll see how the vote goes this fall on giving them longer terms, 2 to 4 years. But how do you think people are going to fare in the elections next year with the city in fiscal emergency?
I would say you'll have more unopposed off seats than we've ever had, for the fact that no one wants to deal with that mess.
So you think a lot of people who are currently there will not be running for re-election?
I say that they will run for re-election and they will be unopposed.
Nobody will want to come in and, right, and do this. Do you think the mayor will run for re-election?
That I have no idea.
Got to be a tough spot for him today.
Right, right. And I know there's a group that's getting together trying to get the charter thing off the ground again for not this year, but next November. So maybe they'll be seeking re-election and maybe there'll be a charter. Who knows?
Now, I know at one point you said you would not run for county commissioner again. Would you ever run for an office in the city again?
I'll tell you this. I did send a letter to the mayor. I sent a letter to the Marion County Auditor, and also a mayor to the through the governor's website, the contact portion, to be one of the appointees on the supervisory board commission that is headed up by the state.
Who chooses these positions? Do we know?
Yeah, again. So there's four mandatories. They're the mayor, presiding officer of council, auditor of state, or their designees. And the fourth one is someone from the Office of Budget Management. Now, the other three are the appointees. The mayor has one. The Marion County Auditor has one. And the governor gets to appoint one. That makes up the 7-member panel.
So one will come from...
Letters, and I sent letters to the three people that have the power to appoint somebody.
Is it the governor or the auditor?
The governor or the auditor what?
Yeah, you said the governor gets to appoint one.
Yes, there's three appointees.
So the our governor will
appoint...
The
governor appoints one.
Okay.
That's one appointee. The mayor gets to appoint one with the approval of council. That's two appointees, two different offices. The third appointee, it comes from the Marion County Auditor.
Two quick questions here in the 2 minutes we have left. So would you ever run for office again?
I don't know. At this point, I think that my role would be best if I could help get the city in any capacity through this fiscal emergency. I think my time on council and just the institutional knowledge that I carry, I already know the problems. I don't have to learn them to get caught up. I already know what they are. I know how the city works, and I have a good grasp on how to make the city run more efficiently without totally destroying our services. And I even have ideas on how we can bring back a service similar to recycling and make it a revenue generator for the city. But I got to get on that commission to do that. And as far as an elected office, there's nothing up that I can run for right now, and I'm a recent loser, so I'm not thinking about that.
And I guess the final question, something the mayor talked about last night, because a citizen asked him this, people want people held accountable for this. Not that anybody took any money, but the people who were in office, who cost the city money, who are responsible for this, the mayor said, I don't have the quote in front of me, but essentially he said last night that they are looking at the reconciliations right now, and he wants to see some findings for recovery, as do some other people in the city. Who would you expect those findings for recovery to be directed at?
It's interesting that the mayor wants findings for recovery, because when I was still on council, we completed the 21 audit, and it uncovered, it was 21 audit, and it uncovered some findings for recovery, and the mayor and the law director and whoever else, not me or a few others on council, they wanted to hold off on issuing the findings for recovery and would not explain why. So are they protecting their buddies? I don't know, because the findings for recovery will go to Robert Landon.
Any for Miranda McGinnis?
So 21 did she come in very late in the fall of 21?
It would have been at the, I can't remember, was it the very end? Because he left in October. I can't remember.
Right, if it was 21, and then we had an interim, and that would have been Martin Watts. He may have had a finding for recovery, I don't know. And then Miranda came in at the tail end, so there were three auditors that could have received findings for recovery.
What would you expect these number amounts to be? Do you have any idea what they would be?
No.
Okay. But you would expect at this point them to be against Robert Landon and as time goes on, possibly for Martin Watts and Miranda McGinnis.
Oh, yeah, all of them do. I mean, I could point directly to some for Miranda. The police and fire pension, where you remember when she stood up and she said, well, or no, that was an IRS penalty and fee that she paid, and she coded it wrong. And she stood up and said that she did not do that. And then later she said that, yes, she did change the code right before she was going to resign. That would be a finding for recovery. Mm. The police and fire pension, that went through the county auditor and guaranteed our revenues. And we had to pay that fee, or they were going to seize some assets or something. I forget what all that was about, but there's a finding for recovery for her. I mean, the list is long. There's findings for recovery, but we have to keep in mind we can only the city can only receive the amount of the bond. So whatever that bond is, that's all we're going to recoup.
As a city resident and a former council person, when some of this was going on, you wouldn't refer to this as a best case scenario, but how would you refer to this situation? Fiscal, Marion City being placed under fiscal emergency.
It's a painful first step to the road of recovery.
And there you go. Former head of the finance chair on City Council and former long-term 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, we got to go to break. We've got a big guest around the corner you're not going to want to miss. Stay tuned.
Believe it or not, they really do make a difference, especially at times that matter most.
Hey, want a drink?
No, thanks.